Welcome to 250. I'm Danielle.
I'm Chris.
And today we watch Singing in the Rain.
I watched Singing in the Rain this weekend.
Oh.
Again. Okay. Like I do every 3 months.
Wow.
Because it is one of my favorite, if not my favorite movies of all time.
Chris might like this movie.
I love this movie.
Oh.
For some reason, my parents took it upon themselves when my brother and I were very young. I was probably 6. My brother was probably 4. We got to watch one video, like, a week, like, on weeknights. And my parents, my dad in particular, which is funny because my dad it was, like, jockey jock, you know, like sporty face in college and growing up. My dad loves musicals. And so he used to bring home, I don't know how that happened. I really should ask him that, but he used to bring home, like, different musicals for us to watch every week. And my brother, Joe, and I both loved two musicals in particular. One called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which is terrifying looking back on it. Go Google the plot
of
that movie.
Never heard of that.
Watching it when you're a kid is great, and then you grow up and you kind of revisit it, and you're like, what the hell? And Singing in the Rain, which I think is an absolute masterpiece. Sometimes the movie adaptations of musicals are really terrible, and you're like, oh God, what happened here? And then sometimes Gene Kelly is just...
Gene Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, oh my God. I'm gonna erupt here at some point during this podcast, most likely in a variety of, of songs, but I will let you give a quick synopsis for anybody who has not seen it and for some reason does not care about spoilers.
Yeah.
And if
well,
you don't, shame on you.
Yeah.
Because this is a masterpiece.
It was so good. I saw it for the first time in my film class this semester, and I was like, oh, it's so good. I wrote a case for the classics about it, so, like,
nice.
I'll link that.
Please do.
Read that, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, so basically, Gene Kelly plays movie star Don Lockwood.
Don Lockwood.
Yes.
Sexy.
And he's, at the beginning of the movie, he's a silent movie star, and he meets, what's her name? Kathy Seldon.
I just know them as Gene Kelly
and Debbie Reynolds. Yes, Debbie Reynolds plays Kathy. And he meets Kathy at the beginning of the movie, and Don Lockwood's a huge movie star. Everyone loves him. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's a silent movie star, and beginning of the movie, sound comes into the scene for movies, and all the movie producers are like, it's not going to be a thing, but it, like,
totally. The talkies. Damn those talkies.
It's totally a thing, if you
it's
didn't
totally
know.
A thing.
Yeah. But, so, after that, they try and make a talkie, and it does not go well.
Not at all.
So...
why does it go well, Danielle?
Because... they don't know how... one, his co-star has a horrific voice.
Oh, Jesus.
She's insane.
Oh, my God.
And second,
she's
they
like
just...
Valley Girl version zero. Like,
she's,
it's, like, horrifying.
She's horrible.
Well, how do you like that?
But I actually
kind of
love
God,
her.
That scene where she is at the voice coach is probably one of the fun... that used to
it's
make me
great.
Laugh. It's
great. No, she's so good because she's good at playing dumb.
True. Yeah.
You have to be really smart to be good at playing dumb.
No, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, the actress, you know, forgive me. I only know the big three in this movie, but the actress who plays her does such an excellent job of just making you hate her.
Yeah.
On so many different levels.
But,
not
like...
even just because of her annoying voice, but just the sense of self-entitlement there
yeah.
is... you know, it's hard. She was like the Joffrey Lannister of my childhood, which I'm sure is a metaphor or a simile. I don't know. Sixth grade was a long time ago that everybody can relate to at this point in their life. So
yeah, no, she was. I thought she was great, just because. Yeah, that kind of role can get either like really annoying really quickly,
yes.
or just like not be funny.
That's true.
And just
use her
kind
sparingly.
Of annoying.
And when she is used,
and she does
effectively.
It well.
That's true.
Yeah,
no, you're 100% right.
Yeah. I think the best part of the movie is just, like, everyone's really good at what they're doing.
Oh, like, everybody in this movie is just an incredible, incredible performer.
Like,
there's nobody in this movie who you can tell is not specific. I'm speaking specifically about Debbie Reynolds, Gene Kelly, and Dom O'Connor.
Yeah.
There is nobody out of that three or any of them are lacking in any type of performance.
Just, wow.
Whatsoever. Or at least, you know... lacking in any type that us peasants can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, so...
there could be flaws, but, like...
one of the funny anecdotes that I heard about this, and this is actually not that funny, so I don't know why I said that, but it's a poorly kept secret. Gene Kelly is an ass, or was an ass. Is Gene Kelly dead? I don't know if Gene Kelly's dead.
I don't know.
Good question. Anyway,
sure.
Well, Gene Kelly, not the greatest guy back when he was, doing his thing, but a lot of people gave him a pass because he is... oh,
awesome.
My,
and really good looking.
Him, incredibly
just,
handsome.
No.
Like, oh, the feet blessed by Apollo. Like, the guy is such an incredible dancer in all respects. Great
just
singer.
Performer in general.
Oh, I could sit here and, like, go on for hours about how great this guy is. But, you know, it was kind of the style back in the day to, if you were incredibly popular, and like a lot of people actually wrote a column about this a long time ago.
I'll link to that
Frank
too.
Sinatra. No, please don't.
No,
nope, I wrote it myself.
I'll look it up.
No, you're not going to find it. About you know, how it was kind of the style for guys in the day to be sort of jerks off stage and like do that. And Gene Kelly, Debbie Reynolds was, it was very early on in the filming of this movie, and Debbie Reynolds was dancing her heart out, and Gene Kelly berated her so heavily to the point where Fred Astaire, old White Shoes himself, was helping choreograph the movie and was just sort of on set, and he found Debbie Reynolds crying under a table and had to like coax her out and worked with her the rest of the time to make sure that Gene would not just absolutely
destroy her
into her anymore. And to be honest with you, I don't know if it was a case of she was already that good and Gene just, you know, decided to take her down a peg, or if, you know, that really did help and that she has Fred Astaire to thank for a lot. But she is phenomenal. She does everything that the guys do, and 9 times out of 10 mm-hmm. she's doing it in a pair of heels.
Yeah.
And you're like, Debbie Reynolds.
No, she's great. Like, everyone is so just good. Like, in every musical number, you're like, if you don't, like, crack, like, at least one smile during the movie, like, I have to question.
Like we're not going to be friends.
Like,
we're not going to be friendly.
You don't have a heart. Yep. Because, like, it just, everything in the movie is just so...
100%.
Yeah.
let's talk about some specific numbers. What was your favorite? Or, like, if you had, like, a top three, what do you like?
Okay, so Singing in the Rain, obviously, because just...
It's like, iconic. It's iconic. You know.
I really like Moses. That one always makes me smile, and like I just so good. Just And then I think Make Him Laugh, just because how much effort he like puts into his performance. I don't know. I think that's like those. Yeah, partly my top.
I 100% agree with two of those.
Mm, you don't like Make Him Laugh.
What's up?
You didn't like Make Him Laugh?
No, I love Make Him Laugh. Right. Actually, Cosmo, when I was growing up, I thought I was going to be, you know, a big musical theater star. Those dreams died a long time ago. But the two roles I always wanted to play were Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast, because I just wanted to sing Be Our Guest in like a terrifying French accent. And B was Cosmo, because I loved the song Make Him Laugh so much, because I was watching Don O'Connor, this like skinny, gangly dude, just like throw himself around and have an absolute ball.
Great.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal, to the point where I tried to teach myself how to do a wall flip, and let's just say...
Didn't end well.
Let's just say, the chimney, so I was trying to do it on the chimney at the side of my house, and I knocked more than a few bricks out of it. My parents were not terrifyingly happy with me, and I gave up, because besides hurting myself egregiously... I took the property value of our home, you know, in Williston, Vermont, down a little bit.
Yeah.
So, c'est la vie, these things happen. His character is so fantastic and provides... He's such a great foil for the character of Don Lockwood. And, you know, it's sort of a classic. It's kind of a... I don't know. I'm scared to use this term, but at the same time, like, it almost feels a little bit like a buddy cop dynamic, where you have the kind of the straight guy and you have the comedic relief and, you know, you sort of progress through the movie that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at least a relatively lighthearted film there. He is just so much fun and so interesting to watch, and he has such an incredibly animated face that, you know, Gene's there to sort of like
be
look
like
great and look a little sultry and
yeah.
you know, get that, you know, movie star smile going, but you know, O'Connor's face is so expressive and so much fun, and it just, you feel so involved whenever you're watching him perform.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my second song that I absolutely love, which you also love, which is Moses. I swear to God, for when I saw that movie for the first time, like I was probably 6 years old, and I tried to learn how to say all of that. And when you're 6 years old, it doesn't go well,
yeah,
especially when you're
not
me.
A lot of addiction.
Yeah, no, I was like, Moses, 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 Moses. And then I made friends with other musical theater kids later on in life, and it sort of became like a requirement that if you wanted to be like, you know, if you wanted to have any street cred,
you gotta,
in the theater
you go to
community,
the, yeah.
Moses supposes, his toes are roses, Moses supposes, you know, like,
yeah, no,
had
I think
man.
We had to do it for like warm ups in like sixth grade chorus. So I saw it and I was like, hey, I know
that's
this one.
Awesome. Oh, and then the a Moses.
Moses.
Oh, none of those. A rose, toes is a toes. Whoop dee doo doo doo.
So good.
Oh, it's so great. It's just such a great little, and you know, again, it's one of those moments where you step outside of the story a little bit, and it's just, like, all it is just about having fun and just having a good time. And they both look like they're having a ball. And then the tap dancing.
Yeah, I could watch them dance all day.
The tap dancing.
It makes me just so, like, wow.
I took tap for a year and a half, and I never even looked like 1/30th.
Yeah.
One, like, just keep jacking that number up.
Like, they make it look easy, but, like, it takes, like, so much, like, work and just practice.
Which is, again, you know, testimony. Or it's, like, it's just a testament to how incredible these guys are. And, I mean, and Debbie, what is, oh, Good Morning. Good Morning is my third one.
Really?
I love Good Morning, which is so funny because I wake up at 1 p.m. every Saturday. But, that's kind of the point, though, is, you know, because they're singing it at, like, what, 2 a.m., 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
Good morning, good morning.
Yeah, that one's, like, I think I heard that one in, like, a commercial.
Also, it's a great song to know if you want to piss your friends off. Mm. At 11 a.m., you just happen to be
just
up,
like,
for some
can
reason.
You?
Yeah.
I like how you think 11 a.m. isn't really.
What? Well, for my friends it is, specifically for my one roommate, who would stay in bed all day if he could. And sometimes it does. So, you know, there's no base of pleasure in life. Then busting into his room at 11 a.m. on a Sunday. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. And then he's like, oh, I hate you. And then I go, I make breakfast. And he goes, ah, oh, fine. I'm like, cool, man. No, there are just so many iconic songs in this film that have meant so much to me over the years. And I was so excited when you texted me and were like, Singing in the Rain. I don't know if there's anything striking about this movie that really sets it apart from anything else for me. I might just be riding high.
No, it's just
high
really
on the nostalgia
good
factor.
No, there are some movies where I'm like, y'all, this is just nostalgia. Like, this, what? No, I saw this movie for the first time a couple weeks ago and loved it.
So what technically about this movie do you think is well done?
I just think it's the fact that everyone, like, had everyone not been, like, at the level that they were,
mm-hmm.
it would not have been
mm-hmm.
as good. Just because everyone has great chemistry, everyone has, like, is just on their game,
mm-hmm.
everyone, like, does everything so well and so professionally that it's just, like, you can't help but enjoy it.
That's
like,
a good
it's
point.
Just, yeah, no, I definitely, no, it's definitely not a nostalgia thing. There are definitely movies where I'm like, okay.
Like, what? Like, what are you talking, like, I mean, Memento, maybe.
Memento, Prestige. No, like, I'm gonna say Star Wars, just because.
What?
What?
Yeah, okay.
No, it is. It is.
So, we're not gonna talk about this. We're gonna,
like,
talk about this at another time.
No, but it is, though.
I don't care. Keep talking about something. Keep talking about something that I like, so I don't
just
walk out of here right now.
I mean, I'll try. I just, yeah. Like, okay.
I'm done with you, man.
Okay.
I'm,
it's fine.
I'm done.
I can have my opinion. I have people to back me up.
So. I recognize that you have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I regret to inform you it is the wrong opinion.
Mm. I don't think so, but it's fine. Anyway, Singing in the Rain. The one thing, Broadway Melody, what is that?
Oh, that's the, golly, that's the dream sequence song, right?
Yeah.
I actually really like that one.
Why?
Because it's so weird.
You're just like, what is.
It's so
and
weird.
Then they're just like, yep, and that's what we're going to do. And then they just move on.
Again,
you're like, what?
Part of the reason I don't mind it is because I never had to think critically about it growing up. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, oh, I'm 9 years old. This is great.
Colors.
Lots of colors. Also, I was a huge fan of the conveyor belts.
Oh.
Where, you know how they have, like,
yeah.
It's like, dum 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 dum.
Get to, like, a, yeah.
And everybody's
get
like,
get to a moving sidewalk, and you're like, woo, and I'm like, kid.
I desperately wanted to ride on one of those so badly. And then I, you know, realized my dream. 10 years later at the airport.
At an airport,
what?
Yeah.
All right, you know what? It was important for me.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle, I don't
I'm sure
that.
Everyone else using the moving arch sidewalk was really pleased with you.
Oh, I was dancing up and down. It was great. The old lady, you know, behind me with the big bags was not upset at all.
Yeah,
no. Totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fine.
Yeah. No, it just goes a little long. Just a little long.
Oh, yeah, it's lengthy. It's kind of weird. You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen West Side Story?
No.
You've never seen West Side Story?
No.
Cool. Okay.
That's why we do this.
Good point, actually. I don't know if West Side Story is in the 250, but
it's
that's
not.
A great movie. I would say it's a good one. I wouldn't say it's as good an adaptation as Singing in the Rain is, but I will say, like, it's definitely pretty solid. West Side Story, there is a dream sequence in the middle of it. It's, you know, because West Side Story is loosely based off of Romeo and Juliet. It's about two rival gangs.
Yeah.
It's about the sister of the leader of the Puerto Rican gang falling in love with one of the guys from the American gang. And there's a dream sequence in the middle of it that's like, that literally is just like, there's a place for us, a time. And it's like a 13-minute.
And you're like, all right.
ballet sequence.
Can we
you're just really
wrap it up?
At the very least, Broadway Melody like, does something different. Like, kind of, like, there's even that moment where they're, like, on that weird plane, and she's in the big, like, flowing dress.
Yeah,
and the ladder.
It's real abstract.
It's super abstract.
Okay.
You're kind of like, what the hell am I watching? But
exactly.
At the same time, like, it ends. Like, it ends. It doesn't drag it out for too long, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, I'm sort of, you know, I'm always looking at this movie through rose-colored glasses, so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I will just say, there are dream sequences and or stuff like scenes and songs in other movies that are much worse.
Yeah. No, it definitely could have been worse, but, like, I still feel, it just, like, what, why, who was, like, this is what this movie's missing. Just how long, I don't even know how long it is. Just dream sequence of that has nothing to do with anything. I'm just going to put it in there and just go roll with it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking through Singing in the Rain trivia right now. I don't know. I'm curious. I'm Googling it. I want to know. Apparently, in Gene Kelly's hometown of Pittsburgh, at PNC Park, when there's a rain delay, they will play that scene from the movie.
That's cute.
Singing in the Rain.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh no.
Maybe
I'd
go
cute.
To
this
a baseball
is, it's a
game.
Really, it's a really influential movie. You might. That might.
If
be.
That.
That'd be really hard though, because you're gonna have to find a day where you think
it's
gonna
get
rain.
Rain.
Yeah, cool, man. No, that's totally cool.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, no, it's just...
The Good Morning song is used as a part of the opening show at Disney World's Magic Kingdom each morning.
Is it?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, according to Wikipedia, so take that as you will.
I've been to Disney a couple of times.
You've been to Disney? I've never been to Disneyland.
Oh, I've been to Disneyland. My family has a house.
Disney World. I've never been to Disney World.
You've been to Land, but you haven't been to World?
Well, I went to Land when I was six,
mainly
because I wanted to go to Legoland so badly.
Is Legoland in Disneyland?
They're, like, right next to each other. I'm pretty sure they're owned by... I'm pretty sure Legoland's owned by Disney.
Is Lego... Nope. Yep, there's a Lego store in downtown Disney.
I was about to say,
because...
yeah. No, Legoland was the best thing ever. I lost my mind. 100%. Okay, can we talk... All right. If we're going to bring up Singing in the Rain, I want to bring up one of the most atrocious crimes committed against this movie ever.
Oh.
And that was the mashup of Singing in the Rain and Rihanna's Umbrella, as perpetrated by the cast of Glee.
Oh.
And it was the worst thing I'd ever seen and or heard in my entire life.
That's uncomfortable.
When you're a musical theater geek, which I was not, but all of my friends were, so I pretended to be one. Isn't that so sad?
So you're basically
like,
there.
That's so sad. Like, on, like, you know, the classic high school hierarchy.
That's like,
a,
like, yeah, that's a high school
I wasn't
thing
a jock, so I became, like, a drama kid, because that's where you go. Like, when you're just...
I have nowhere else to go,
British
so I
comedian,
guess I'll talk
British
to you.
British comedian Jack Whitehall does a great bit where he just goes, well, I wasn't smart, I wasn't good at sports, so I became a drama kid, because that's what you do with your shit. Like, it's really funny, and I highly recommend watching it. But that was me, and I couldn't even do that, so I pretended to be a drama kid.
Aww.
Anyway, enough self,
just
like,
sad.
Unwarranted self-loathing. Glee was huge for, like, us, because it was the first time that something in pop culture was cool that involved,
singing.
Like, a lot of singing and a lot of dancing in Glee Club. Like, I was literally in a show choir. Like,
ooh.
I was in a show choir.
You were cool,
and
then,
so,
is what you're telling
not
me.
Not even remotely, dude. You should have seen the suspenders we wore. That song single-handedly ruined Glee, I think, in the second season, and it was atrocious.
Just
so
they both
atrocious.
Have to do with
well, the best part is normally 9 times out of 10, the songs in Glee are done so that they fit into the plot. This was just like an end of the episode tack on where they kind of set it up, and the guy who played Schuster, you know.
Matthew Morrison.
Who? What the hell happened to that guy?
He's on Broadway.
Is he on
somewhere?
Classic.
Doing the thing.
Mm-hmm. Doing the Broadway thing. He is just like in a vest, which he always was in,
always
in that
vest.
Show. In a trilby, you know. I'm sure that he picked it from PacSun, you know, or you know, the basement of his house. And it just has an umbrella. And it starts raining. He starts singing the song. I'm like, cool, sounds good. And then all of a sudden, everybody else comes in. And they cut the chorus. I was so mad about it. Oh, God. All right. Enough.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm not mad. I'm pretty
He's
mad.
Not mad about it, guys.
I'm not mad.
He's really just okay with what happened.
I'm 100% not mad about it.
Yeah. But...
Okay, I'm sorry. I gotta read this one. I just
okay.
gotta
Go
find,
for
a,
it.
Find a way to fit this
Go
one
Go for
in.
It.
I've read the first 5 words, and I have to finish it. I don't know how this is going to end.
Oh, this is
more trivia.
This is good for
in the
podcast.
2003 film Shanghai Nights,
ooh.
Jackie Chan imitates Gene Kelly's dance moves, complete with umbrella, towards the end of a fight scene set in London, England. The original Singing in the Rain music plays over the sequence as a tribute. Jackie Chan.
Wow.
You badass. You know Jackie
very
Chan
artistic.
Actually is like a very prominent musician in China.
Is he?
And has like 23 albums. He's a singer.
What kind of
he's
music?
I have no, I mean, I don't know. You should 100% dub some of Jackie Chan's music.
I think
right
that's,
here.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. 3, 2, 1. You don't even know. You're gonna listen to it later.
Be like, God.
You should. All right. So now that you've listened to it later, you should dub in an actual reaction to Jackie Chan's music here in 3, 2, 1.
Oh God.
I'm so excited for that. I'm so excited to listen to the final version of that.
Mm-hmm.
We should also go look for it and look that scene up. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
I think that would be.
Oh my God. All in all, if you have not seen, where did this place? All right. In my mind, this is like number 4.
Number,
like
four.
Number four.
It's not in the top 10. I know it's not in the top 10. It's number 91.
All right, that's respectable.
Stop 100.
Like, I'll take that. I
in
do
between.
Think, like, but come on, The Untouchable, like, ugh. Memento.
Right?
What the hell?
Right?
This should 100% be rated higher than, like, a lot of this, like, a lot of these. What's around it? What's around it?
Okay.
Anything
two
I've seen?
Two movies I've never heard of.
Bicycle Thief. Amadeus. I think it's better than Amadeus. I've seen Amadeus.
It's two above
Monty
Python.
Wow, I'm surprised the Holy Grail is that far down. I'm surprised
I
Toy
love
Story
Grail.
Is that far down, and I'm surprised Inglourious Bastards is that high up. Interesting. LA Confidential. All right. It's in decent company. I think it deserves to be a little higher. I'd put it in the 60s, to be honest with you.
The 60s?
Yeah, I'm going 60s.
I can see that.
I'm interested to.
Especially
because
like Braveheart's
to,
up. Like, I don't
yeah,
like
that's
Braveheart.
Weird. I'd be interested to read some of the criticisms of this film. Like, why is it that people?
I don't know. I feel like it's just like a pure entertainment film. It's like one of those just like.
That's
I don't
true.
Know. You like don't watch it for like you know deep philosophical meaning. You just watch it to be like, ah, oh, this was great. Like
that's
it's
true.
A feel good. It's like that's a product of its time too. Like that's like what those movies were during that
true.
Time. Just like to feel good, and like it definitely achieves that. And like I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's awesome.
No, I agree.
Like, yeah, like
it's
there's
also
definitely...
it's also now that I think about it, it's a musical. Like you know,
yeah.
if you're not necessarily into musicals, like this is just not a film for you. You're really not.
I don't understand how that. No. I feel like you could. I might just be biased, but like, it's just so good.
No, it's totally fine. I'm gonna look up critic reviews right now.
Just disagree with them loudly.
Well, let's go. Let's go to the man himself. Let's go to Roger Ebert. There is no movie musical more fun than Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
Thanks, Roger.
It's true.
You got it right.
Yeah, it's just like
looking up at you, buddy. You 100% got it right.
Yeah. No, it's just like, yeah, a fun movie. And you can definitely do movie musical so wrong.
Oh, 100%. Well, I mean,
so wrong.
So you said Les Mis as an example. In my personal opinion, Phantom of the Opera, not great.
Never seen it.
I love Phantom of the Opera. I love
so
Phantom of the Opera.
The thing,
up?
Not the movie.
What do you mean?
You said you don't like Phantom of the Opera.
No, I do. The movie was bad.
Okay, yeah.
My
so you like
opinion,
Phantom of the Opera as a
the
thing,
movie's
but
not,
not the movie.
No,
okay.
Excuse me. Yeah. No, Phantom of the Opera as a movie is not great. What else? West Side Story is kind of... No, excuse me, not West Side Story. What I'm thinking of is Guys and Dolls is kind of meh.
I've seen Guys,
you've seen Guys
not
and Dolls.
Not the movie.
It's kind of
but,
meh. It's,
like,
not, it's not bad, but it's not great.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if any of my musical theater friends ever listen to this, which I hope they don't, they'll be freaking out at me.
I just feel like when they don't put someone who like has that background in it, like Mamma Mia, like with Meryl Streep, even though I love Meryl.
Mamma Mia. Yeah, that was not great.
Yeah. Like musical theater requires like a different, I don't know, skill, not even like skill set, just different level.
Well, there's a different, I think there's a different cadence and there's a different rhythm to how the plot progresses and there's a different sort of, there's a different idea that you have to contend with in terms of how the plot progresses, how you do transitions,
mm-hmm.
and then also the other thing that you have to contend with is that each musical does that in a completely different way. So, for instance, Seussical, which I'm surprised they have not made a movie. I don't think they made a movie out of Seussical.
Just after The Cat in the Hat, everyone's like,
oh, they,
no,
oh geez,
that.
Never,
never, never,
never again.
Yeah.
Seussical is a show where there essentially are no transitions. There, it's everything is done through, there's never any like lights out, change the set, change the scene, new scene type deals. It's the music carries you into a completely new scene and everything changes on stage with you.
Yeah.
And doing that in a movie would be incredibly difficult because you can't shoot a one-shot movie.
I mean,
so,
you could.
Oh,
but
yeah,
like,
you could.
Be
Birdman.
Absolutely
horrible idea. It would be Birdman.
Which I also have never seen, so I'm not, like, making
it. Yeah, I was about to say, I've never seen
movie.
It either, but I've heard a lot of... I've heard mixed up, despite the fact it won Best Picture.
Yeah.
My girl, my ex-girlfriend, made me go see... what is it? The Imitation Game instead of Birdman, and I was very upset about that.
Imitation
Game
was good.
Oh,
that
look,
also was nominated.
Benedict Cumberbatch plays another tortured genius.
It was good, though, and it didn't make you feel...
Well, it's just, it's such a Benedict Cumberbatch thing to do, or at least a Benedict Cumberbatch thing to do in terms of his mainstream career. He's obviously an incredibly talented actor, especially with, like, Shakespearean chops, and, like, he does very well. But so far, all I've seen him in are, like... These tortured roles, like Julian Assange.
Sherlock,
The Imitation Game. He's now Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell, Marvel? Where are you going with that?
Yeah.
That was quite the tangent. We went from musical to Birdman to The Imitation Game to Benedict Cumberbatch. Welcome to the 250, folks.
Yeah.
It is very difficult for us to stay on topic. I'm surprised we didn't get all the way to Departed somehow. 6 degrees of separation.
Well, now we're here, so.
Now we're here. But like Leo, though.
Right.
Oh, Leo. Oh, God. I love you. But I don't. But I do. But you're dead.
At least he has his Oscar.
Yeah. So it's really difficult to sort of do musicals right, I think. And 9 times out of 10, the people who end up directing those movie musicals are not musical theater nerds themselves. And I don't think
that's...
all the time appreciate what that, you know, what...
Yeah, you can't just, like, I don't know, you have to have, like, an appreciation for, like, musical. Because, like, you can't just, like, do it.
That's true. The other thing about it is that so many, when you're casting for a movie, you're casting for a movie audience. So, like, Les Mis was very obviously a movie cast for a movie audience. And so, like, Anne Hathaway should not have, like, I love Anne Hathaway to death, but, like, everybody kind of was
didn't like her.
What the hell is she doing here?
And then the whole, like, live singing thing was a little, like...
Singing in the Rain does it so well because, like, the three characters who drive that movie forward are
three of
the most amazing performers of the last century. Whereas Russell Crowe... did a good job?
Okay.
Question mark.
He tried. He did his best.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of practical and concerns to be made when you're turning a musical into a movie, and not everybody does those very well. But Singing in the Rain is one of the best examples of how it can be done correctly and be done in such a way that stays true. And to be honest with you, I think in some ways it improves on the source material.
It just, Well, I've never seen. Play, actual.
Well, they do.
Live.
To be honest with you, like they do a good job
of
showing
translating.
You what it would look like. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's great. That's my professional.
Opinion. Yeah, we got. I've run out. Man.
I'm out.
Fresh out.
Yeah.
I cannot gush about this. That's not sure I could, but in the interest of time.
In interest.
Just hey, you know what?
I think we're good.
I think we're set.
All right, follow Halftime at HalftimeGU on Twitter. Go on georgetownvoice.com/halftime to read more articles, listen to more podcasts, which we will have in the future, actually.
Yeah, we will 100% have
check
more podcasts, thanks to our new podcast editor, Mr. John Black.
Yes, and that's it. Nope.
Oh, also check out A Case for the Classics.
Oh, yeah, My Case for the Classics.
Which is, if I'm not mistaken, your column where you sort of turn back time and examine some of what yesteryear has to offer in terms of cinema. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I will pay you a compliment. I'm relatively impressed.
Thanks.
No problem.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think we're out. Also, follow my Georgetown story.
Oh,
that's what I meant to
go
say.
Go away!
That's obviously what I
go
needed to say.
Go away!
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.
No, Miss Lamont. Round tones, round tones. Now let me hear you read your line.
And I can't stand him.
And I can't stand him.
And I can't stand him.